Good morning, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the Heather Sixth Ward Sacrament meeting today on this Fast and Testimony Sunday. I'd like to excuse the bishop who is away traveling this week, and hence Brother Roberts will be presiding this meeting as asked that I, Brother Beckstead, conduct today. I'd like to extend a warm welcome to everyone who's here today, as well as to any visitors who are here or new members. Welcome. We'd also like to recognize Tony Martinez from the High Council, who is here on the stand. We do have a couple of announcements to make. The first one is that we will be holding ward council today after the block. And then today we will be holding the teacher councils during the second and third hour. So all the teachers in the ward are invited to attend either the second or third hour, depending on which works with your teaching schedule today. Those are a wonderful opportunity to counsel together and encourage everyone to attend those. It's great. Also, I'd like to remind everyone that we've got state conference coming up on November 18th and 19th. And we will open today's meeting by singing hymn number 134, I Believe in Christ, and then the invocation will be offered by Brother Austin Holland.
Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we are so very grateful for this beautiful Sunday morning and for the opportunity that we have to gather together in this building and worship Thee. We're grateful for the opportunity that we had to hear from our prophets and apostles last week, and we pray that we may continually ponder upon the things which we learned from them. We're grateful for the opportunity to partake of the sacrament today, and we pray that we may be prepared and that we may ponder on Thee and Thy Son. We ask that we may have Thy Spirit to be with us throughout our church meetings today, and that we may be able to have the Spirit testify to us during our fellow ward members' testimonies today. We humbly ask these blessings in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Turn the time over to Brother Tony Martinez for some stake business.
The stake presidency has directed that I conduct the following business. Many of you rejoiced with us in seeing in the Women's Session of General Conference that a member of our stake, Sister Michelle Craig, has been called as a member of the new president of the new primary general board. This call necessitates her release from her calling in our stake. We therefore announce the following. It is proposed that we release with heartfelt gratitude Sisters Michelle D. Craig of the Hetherith 7th Ward, Erica M. Brown of the Hetherith 2nd Ward, and Sherry Lee Duffy of the Hetherith 4th Ward as the stake young women presidency. All who wish to express gratitude for their faithful service, please manifest by the uplifted hand. With the following, please stand if president. It is proposed that we sustain as the new stake young women presidency, Kristen Waldron of the Hetherith 2nd Ward as president, with Jennifer Ashcraft of the Hetherith 7th Ward as first counselor, and Julianne Muhlstein as of the Hetherith 2nd Ward as second counselor. All in favor, please manifest it. Those opposed, if any, may manifest it. Thank you very much.
It's my privilege to open our fast and testimony meeting today. There are a few items that came to mind as I thought and pondered what I might speak about today. The first one is just my testimony that the Lord Jesus Christ does direct our church. And it's an interesting concept in how the church is organized all the way from leading the first presidency and the quorum of 12 apostles that we had and the general authorities of the church that we had the opportunity to hear from this last week, but also going all the way down to the regions of the church, the stakes, and even the wards of the church that the Lord Jesus Christ is directing the affairs even of our ward. And I've had the privilege to feel of that in this ward, and the release of Sister Walker and the primary presidency reminded me of that today because of how much of a testimony I had that the calling of that presidency was directed by inspiration and the Spirit. And while it may not have been conceived, it would be for the time that it ended up being, I know that it had an impact on the children. And I had the privilege of working closely with her, and I felt of her love for the primary and know that it was a wonderful time and a special time for the primary. And I'm appreciative of everyone in the ward who accepts callings to serve. And we do ponder and pray and think about who to call into these callings. Second one was just to talk a little bit more about the general conference. It was a wonderful experience to spend 2 days last weekend to hear the direction. And I know that one wonderful thing of having such a variety of messages is that each person can feel that the messages are for them, and the different, you know, with a worldwide church of you know, many, many millions of members, that each individual can come away and receive inspiration that helps them in their individual lives and can have their own prayers answered and the questions that they're seeking answers to answered. And it's a wonderful, wonderful, amazing thing that we get the opportunity to have happen twice a year. I know I felt the Spirit strongly during that. One of the key takeaways that I had over it is just the importance of personal testimony and that each of us need to be striving and constantly paying attention to our own testimonies and building it and growing it. A testimony is an interesting thing. Like a flame, where if it doesn't receive oxygen and we don't do the things to build it, it will start to die out. And we each need to, throughout our lives, be seeking ways to grow it and build it and expand upon it. I've also been, as I reflected on life recently, one of the things that's come to mind of, what one of the greatest blessings that having the gospel of Jesus Christ brings to me in my life, and I think can to each of us, is because it doesn't make life easy. It doesn't reduce all challenges and struggles and, both of sickness and mental and physical and other varieties. It doesn't eliminate those challenges. But what it does provide is peace. And even if that is just peace of heart, it can be peace of conscience as we seek the atonement of Jesus Christ and as we seek repentance for the mistakes that we made, which is a wonderful peace. It can be peace in a world that can have a lot of challenges and evil and chaos, is that in the midst of that world, we can feel, you know, peace in our own hearts and in our own communities. And just that calming influence that as we seek to do the best we can and get a little better every day and be moving in the right direction, that we can feel that peace in our own heart. And it honestly replaces and can make up for other turmoil. Nothing makes up for the peace. No financial success or you know, material prosperity or any other things can make up for that peace of heart that we can have and that only the Savior can provide in all varieties. Especially appreciated the, I can't remember which talk it was that talked about how perfection is something that we are all striving for, but know that it's something that we will only accomplish through the end of our lives. That it's one of those constant journeys that we're on, and that we shouldn't, you know, be frustrated when we fall short. The important thing is that we are personally striving to improve and get better and get a little better every day. We should be personally honest with ourselves. I'll do that personal interview and personal assessment of, are we doing the best we can? But as we are, to know that the Savior will make up the difference. I know that He will. And in spite of each of our unique challenges and struggles and things that we go through, that the Savior makes up the rest. I know that He lives and He loves us. And I share that with you all in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Brothers and sisters, the time is now yours for sharing of testimonies, and we will go till about 5 after the hour.
If I didn't come up first, I'm afraid I wouldn't. I can always talk myself out of it, but I really felt the Spirit strongly, so I'm not trying to make this the backstage show, but I just felt, during the sacrament especially, I could not get Elder Christofferson's talk out of my mind, where he talked about the sacrament and how when we partake of it, we are literally needing to internalize the qualities and character of our Savior Jesus Christ. And so I just thought about the sacrament differently today. As they broke the bread, I thought of how Elder Christofferson mentioned that, I think he maybe quoted Elder Oakes, that we are all those broken and torn pieces of bread, and we're all different. We all have different sins. We all have different ways we need to be strengthened. And I'm so grateful for the sacrament, for our Savior's atonement that allows us to be repaired and be healed and come closer to our Savior. I'm so grateful for that. As I listened to General Conference last week, I kept thinking of what Jordan Holland said about drinking upstream. She mentioned a woman in her talk who kept her testimony strong by always drinking upstream, and I felt like that's exactly what we were doing. We didn't have to filter that water. We didn't have to worry about if there was a political agenda or what the source was. We could just drink deeply of those talks. And I am so grateful for our prophets and apostles who know what we need to hear today. And I had so many of my questions answered, and many of those are really personal ones. I just took notes and had my questions answered. One I'd like to share with you was from President Uchtdorf, and he said it in both the women's session and in the Sunday morning session, almost the same sentence, and it it just really hit me when he said it that second time. I recognized that it was something I really needed. And he pointed out that our blessings come not because of our abilities, but because of our choices. And that was really important to me because I often feel like I don't have great abilities. I just kind of status quo and I just try to get, you know, try to do my best, but I don't feel particularly talented or articulate. But when he said that, I just thought that's something I have control over is my choices. And I'm so grateful for that message and all the other little things that gave me inspiration and hope and just joy in living the gospel, even in these days where we have so many dark and terrible things happening, but there's also so much hope and so much light. And I'm grateful for all of you who strengthen me, and I'm grateful for our Savior, Jesus Christ, and he does know each of us individually, and he's there to succor us, and I'm grateful for our dear prophet, and love him, and I bear my testimony of this, and I say this in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
I want to express my gratitude today for the atonement. It is far away, such a hard concept to understand, but we've been given the road that, I don't know how to say it, but I know that the plan that Christ, that God made for us, and that Christ is carried out, and that we can make our choices so that we too may return to Christ and to God and to the family. This is what we've been given. And when they talk about choices, it's all about that. We know what we're supposed to do. There's no question about what we're supposed to do. It's just, will we do it or not? And it isn't easy. It is not easy. But I'm grateful to the Holy Spirit, for it teaches us to keep trying no matter what. Don't give up. Just because things happen that are depressing around the world has nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ, other than the gospel brings us peace, and we have a greater understanding. Our hearts go out to those that have lost their loved ones, and only the peace of Christ will bring them what they need, and I pray that the missionaries may find those who need to learn about the gospel so that they may have this peace, they may have this happiness that can come into their lives. I am grateful for the missionary program that goes around the world to save our brothers and sisters. I pray that I may always follow Christ. I am grateful for all of you and for your good examples. I'm grateful for the life I've been able to have, for the goodness of the people around me. It is a great blessing to have the church in our lives. It is a blessing. I don't think any of us realize how wonderful it is. It is something that is truly will bless our lives through the eternities, if we hold on to those things that we're being taught. And I'm grateful to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm grateful for the church, which is the vehicle to help us get back to Christ. I thank thee, and I believe in Jesus Christ. I don't only believe him, but I know he's my brother, and he's my adversary and my mediator. And I'm grateful to God the Father for the love he has for all of us. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning. So I was not planning on coming up here at all. And during sacrament, I was reading the new general conference talks. And the first one I was reading was Do We Trust Him When Heart Is Good? By Elder Stanley G. Ellis. And it seems like that's kind of the theme of what is going on, and that we can find peace through this gospel, because this life is hard, And as I was reading it, I was like, oh, I should share that. And I just kept getting this prompting that I should go up. And I was like, oh, no, I don't have to. Like, there's all so many other people that needed to share their testimonies. And it just kept coming back. So here I am. But I just want to say that basically I'm so grateful that we have this gospel in our lives, because when times do get hard and people don't have the gospel, I don't know where they turn. I don't think particularly I'm going through big disasters like some people in this world are, but they're personal big disasters for me, and they're hard, and they're trials and challenges. And anytime that I'm going through that I can turn to the gospel, and I can strengthen my testimony. I can start reading the Book of Mormon more. I can start praying more, asking for my Heavenly Father to be with me more. And I think that sometimes we forget that that's the whole plan, is that Heavenly Father trusts us so much to come to this earth and to go through all these trials and to have hard times come upon us, but He trusts us that we're going to come back to Him, and we're going to seek for Him to be in our lives. And I think that we just always have to trust that He will be there for us, and that He is waiting for us to reach out our hand to Him and to ask for His help in our lives, and that we will find peace as we seek Him. I am so grateful for this gospel and for everything that it has brought into my life, and for the happiness it brings to me, and for the peace that it brings to me as well. And I know that this church is true. I'm so grateful for our prophets and apostles that can be revelators for us and to give us guidance in these days. And I'm so grateful for my Savior, Jesus Christ, that He was able to atone for our sins so that we can be clean and to live with our Heavenly Father again. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
This has been a little bit of a hard year for the world, and hard year for America, and my family has been through its share of struggles this year, and my friends and acquaintances, and just because of all those things, I had a unique experience, really the first time in my life that I was really curious to see what the general conference messages would be and what the theme of that would be, because of the disasters and the tragedies and things that have been happening. And it was amazing for me that the overarching theme that I got through all of conference was just, you guys are going to be okay. And it felt like a message straight to me that everything's going to be okay. And even though it's hard and there's bad things happening and there's disasters, that fear is not of the Lord. And even though the world is in turmoil and there's so much just sin and bad things, and that the media is so terrible, instead of telling us that we need to not watch our TVs and that we need to turn off the radios and not listen to music, Elder Holland is just telling us that you're going to be all right. You're going to be fine, because the gospel's there for you. And it was exactly what I needed to hear. And that's my testimony for you today, is that the first thing that Satan did in this world was tempt Adam and Eve to go against what the Lord asked them to do. But the second thing that he did was try to make them feel afraid, that he was going to be angry at them. And he tried to keep making their children feel afraid, because if he can keep us in fear, if he can keep us from thinking about the happy and hopeful things that the gospel can bring into our lives, then it's so easy for him to narrow our focus down to the one mistake at a time and to lead us off the path that we need to be on. But I bear my testimony to you that even though I do so many stupid things, if I just try to remain hopeful that I'm doing okay and that the Lord still loves me, and keep that fear out of my heart, then it makes it so much easier for me to keep doing the things that I need to do and to have the Spirit in my life and just live the gospel. And then I can be free to notice how many happy and joyful things there are, like coming to church and feeling the Spirit here and having my super hot wife and all those other amazing things that the Lord blesses us with from day to day. So I bear my testimony that we're going to be fine, and that the Lord still loves us, and that he's looking out for the victims of the Las Vegas shooting and the 37 hurricanes that we've had this year, and for all of the hard things that we'll continue to go through, which is the purpose of this life. But I bear my testimony that the atonement of Jesus Christ is sufficient for all of it and more. And that if we can keep being hopeful and looking for the happy things in our lives, that it will make it easier for us to continue moving along the path that the Lord has set for us. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Jesus said, "Let there be no disputations among you, and if you're not one, you're not mine." What does that mean? Does that mean there's one groupthink that we should all adhere to and entertain no thoughts outside of that groupthink that we make so special? I hardly think so. I've been on the internet a lot lately, and all there is argument. And one thing I've noticed about every argument, in order to have a premise for the argument, they have to assign a group to you. You're a liberal, you're a conservative, you're a Trump supporter, you're a Obama supporter, whatever it is. You're in some kind of a group, and you can't get out of that group. Therefore, you have to defend that group. And to defend that group, you have to argue. But I've learned a little bit of a new talent lately, and it's called unarguing. Unarguing with people. They take a stance, and in order to take a stance, they have to assign you first to a group. And so you always call into question the group that you've been assigned to. That's one way to start your discourse. Because inevitably, the people who are most hostile and virulent have aligned themselves with one group or another. And I think this is the message that Jesus was saying, that don't align yourselves with this virulent tenacity to one group or another, but to have an open mind and discuss issues as they arise on the merits of the issue and not on the merits of some groupthink, because groupthink will eventually turn to war. And that's the whole direction groupthink always goes. It goes into, becomes more and more virulent until people become hostile and aggressive. And this is something we have to avoid as Christians, because when things get hostile and aggressive, what does the Christian do? He submits and becomes the victim. And we don't want to be victims. We want to be winners, not losers. So we have to be careful about how we entertain discourse, especially with strangers on the internet, we don't even know who they are, and not assign them to a category, and not let them assign us to any category. And not let them assign you to the past, that because you belong to a group that espouse certain ideas in the past, therefore you are this and this and this. This is, you know, bogus thinking. And to order to be one with Jesus, we have to be able to unargue. Not argue, unargue. And there's lots of ways to do that. And if, and I'm just putting this term out to you to try to start thinking about it and seeing if there's some way that you can unargue with people and still be friends after you've disagreed about something. Because we're always going to disagree about stuff because none of us are omniscient. We don't know all the facts. And we always make presumptions about knowing stuff and not knowing stuff. And we have to learn how to not do that and therefore not get boxed and categorized because we have taken a stance that is built on presumptions. Anyway, that's what I have, something I've learned. And I've had a lot of fun with it. Because while other people are getting hysterical, I'm having fun. So I think it's good to learn to do that and argue. And I believe that Jesus was not in the wrong when he said we should all be one. I think he was not advocating groupthink. That's my personal opinion. But I love the gospel, and I know it's true, and I have testimony of it. I know the Book of Mormon is true. Not because of some groupthink, not because someone else said it was true, but because I've studied it rather diligently and repeatedly and surreptitiously and constantly find new evidences that it could not have been come to us through any other means than the means that Joseph Smith ascribes to it. And I leave you my testimony in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. My name is Vanessa Colorado, and I was one of those people who also was overwhelmed with all the natural catastrophes that we had faced. And I was really overwhelmed and concerned. And when I heard about the earthquake that hit Mexico, I was even more overwhelmed. I thought about my family, and I thought about 30 years ago when I was there, when we had that big earthquake. And listening to all the things that were happening there and all the people that were suffering, made me think about why. But listening to all the messages that we received during our state conference and then during general conference gave me a sense of, gave me peace, and I felt that the Lord knows why, and that if we are prepared, no matter what happened, we are going to be okay. And I like what Elder Stanley G. Ellis during General Conference said, regardless of the issue, heart can be good for those who will move forward with faith and trust the Lord and His plan. We need to trust Him, and He knows why. And I know that He lives. I know that He knows us, and He knows what we need, and He knows when we suffer and when we... when we help each other. And I know that this church is true. I love Heavenly Father. I love all my friends and my family, my husband, and I love all of you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
I've known for a long time that there's a statement in the church that we talk about in life that we say, you know, bad things happen to good people. I never believed it. I've seen a lot of bad things happen, but it happens to normal people. It happens to regular people. And I guess the Lord needed me to learn that bad things do happen to good people. With the challenges that we're facing as a family with the surgery that my wife will be having, we don't know what the outcome's going to be. We don't know if she's going to lose her ability to speak, if she'll ever be able to teach again. And I try to understand that. And I try to rationalize all of the choices we make and all of the places where we put our energy. And what I've come to realize is that without those people we love, we don't have anything. And the hope of the gospel is that we can have everything. I want all of you to know how much our family loves you, how much Shelley loves you, our children love you. I appreciate the kindness and generosity that all of you have extended to each of us. As all of you are fasting today, we started a family fast last night, along with BYU and my work and all of our family and friends. And I would ask each of you just to have one small thought in your heart for Shelley. I know that I'm not worthy of any of that. But I know that she is. And that's enough. I do have a testimony of this gospel. Now we're all on a different path and a different journey trying to figure out what it means to us, how we assimilate into our lives, into our personalities, into how we survive day to day. But I know that our Father in heaven has a plan. As I gave my sweetheart a blessing last night, I have faith that God lives and that the priesthood is real and that we all might, through our faith, return to Him. Say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
I'd like to thank everyone for the wonderful testimonies and spirit we felt during our fast and testimony meeting today. One final reminder that we will be holding the teachers' councils today during the second and third hour, so please plan to attend. And we will close this meeting by singing hymn number 302, I Know My Father Lives, after which the benediction will be offered by Sister Aspen Hainsworth.
Dear kind Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this Sabbath day that we're able to come and worship together, and we're grateful for the spirit that we have felt so far, and please help us to be able to carry this spirit throughout our other classes and meetings today and throughout this week to give us strength, and we're grateful for the testimonies that were shared and for the strength that brings all of us, and we love you so much, and please bless those who are in need of thy help and thy guidance and thy love and thy healing, that they'll be able to receive these blessings. And again, we're grateful for this opportunity to come here together today. And we say this in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.